The Lee Jordan Show.
A Pod Together project, written by Croissant Katie and Vasilady, and featuring the following voice talents:
Beatrix Palmer, Thomas Jones, Ginny, and Kenji, read by Sylvain.
Vasilady as Malcolm and Isolde.
Evangeline Arnold, Humphrey Grintelow, Eloise, and Frida Bergstrom, read by Silly Cleo.
Croissant Katie as Begonia and Marcus.
Eos Rose as Aggie and Joan.
Gail Gropp and Graham, read by Jalaza Cazone.
And Calicaria as Lee Jordan.
The Lee Jordan Show jingle is written and performed by Croissant Katie. Cool for Cats is performed by Laliandra with words by Prime Ideal. Witches Wizards is performed by Sylvain with words by Prime Ideal. Red Red Lion is performed by Citrus Java with words by Prime Ideal. I've Got a Little List is performed by Sylvain with words by Prime Ideal. Sound art and cover art is by Calicuria.
You're listening to Lee Jordan on the Wizarding Wireless Network.
Hello, and welcome to the Lee Jordan Show on the Wizarding Wireless Network, the best show on the magical airwaves to fill that blank noise of silence which becomes overwhelming and depressive. Or, at least, I think we're the best show for that. Which Weekly hasn't actually done a poll on that topic. We did, however, come top of their poll for Best Light Entertainment Show. Congrats to the whole team! Despite appearances, it takes more than just me talking mindlessly to make this show happen. So I think we all deserve a round of applause for that one. And now on to what's coming up in today's show. It's a good one, if I do say so myself. We're going to be taking a sneak peek at next year's Quidditch World Cup. Training camps are underway, and we're expecting team lineups to be announced any day now. We'll also be talking to the one and only Ginny Potter of the Holyhead Harpies about their incredible winning streak. And for all you theater-goers, we'll be talking to some of the cast of a show that will knock you off your brooms. As well as that, we've got all your usual news, gossip, weather, and travel. But first, the headlines with Evangeline Arnold.
The time is 9 o'clock, and these are today's headlines with me, Evangeline Arnold. The Ministry of Magic have released a report on the impact major magical events have on the Muggle world. The report suggests there is a correlation, but causation has yet to be established except in some anecdotal cases. The Department of Magical Games and Sport have issued a statement that the recent heightened rivalry between domestic Quidditch teams will not influence their selection for the national squad. Minister for Magic Kingsley Shacklebolt signed into law yesterday the Druid Land Protection Act, which the Wizengamot passed unanimously in a vote last week. The act has proven controversial with the public, as some see it simply as a way for the Ministry to enforce the International Statute of Wizarding Secrecy. Next week, the Prime Minister will be meeting with the Danish and Norwegian Ministers for Magic to resolve magical aquatic border disputes in the North Sea. Also next week, there will be a hearing involving a cat that has allegedly given birth to a litter of manticores. While the owner of the cat claims no knowledge of how this came about, the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures has issued a statement indicating illegal manticore smuggling is suspected. In lighter news, the sweet shop Honeydukes is reopening its doors in Hogsmeade after a recent infestation of pixies was found in the basement. Now pixie-free, Honeydukes will be offering its usual wide selection of chocolates and sweets, as well as introducing a number of new treats. And now, back to Lee for the rest of today's show.
Thank you, Evangeline. Good to hear about Honeydukes. Nothing can beat Honeydukes' best chocolate. Maybe I can get an intern to flew out to Hogsmeade and get me some. For now, we're going to head down to Cornwall to hear from Beatrix Palmer, who has been investigating some strange goings-on in St. Ives.
Hello, listeners! Yes, today I have made it down to Cornwall, where the local magical community have been reporting numerous instances of dead trake washing ashore. This has been causing some problems, as the local Muggle fishing community have begun to notice. Dead shrake washing ashore is a common problem for the magical populace of this region of Cornwall, to the extent that the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures sends a task force down every year in March to deal with the problem. However, this time it was completely unexpected, because it's August! As such, locals have been taking matters into their own hands to protect magical secrecy. Joining me now is Gail Gropp. Hello, Miss Gropp. What can you tell me about what's been going on?
Well, you know, this happens every year. Normally the ministry come down, though they weren't prepared for it to happen at this time of year. We reported it and everything, went through all the official channels, but the ministry weren't able to do anything, and the local Muggle community had started to notice.
Shrey caused untold damage to Muggle fishing nets, even when dead. What did you do?
We've been mending nets as best we can. The Muggle fishermen expect a certain number of their nets to break, but after a while they get suspicious. Last time this happened, there was a massive investigation into the net manufacturers, and just, it's not fair to put them through that strife when it's a magical issue which can easily be solved.
So you weren't motivated by a desire to enforce the Magical Secrecy Act?
Well, no. When Muggle nets start to break all the time, they don't think it's magic. Why would they? They think it's the nets. They have no reason to think it's magic, even if they find the odd dead shrake. Then they just think it's a fish not from round here, or one that has some kind of genetic mutation. Why would they think it was magic?
Excellent point there. Do you think Muggles have witnessed other magical incidents and just put it down to Muggle factors?
Absolutely. What self-respecting Muggle sees something strange and assumes it's magic? No one. They think it's a trick of the light or something.
Thank you very much, Miss Grupp. Back to you, Lee, in the studio.
And thank you. While you were out with Beatrix Palmer, listeners, I was joined by Aggie Creed here in the studio. Madam Creed studies, what do you call it, intersectional relations between the magical and the Muggle?
That's right. And that's quite an interesting point just now, about Muggles and their own magic blindness, if I may say. There's talk of looking into the regulations for underage wizards, and there are a number of seemingly arbitrary and contradictory rules if you look close enough. And there are a number of people who got expelled for underage magic during both Millicent Bagnold and Cornelius Fudge's terms as Minister of Magic. The Daily Prophet isn't reporting it at all.
Really? But Bagnold was never the strictest when it came to wizarding secrecy, was she? Everyone always talks about you-know-who's downfall the first time, and the days-long parties.
That's why it's so controversial. The witch who defended our inalienable right to party, letting the ministry expel so many students for magic use? Only the Quibblers got a report on all the broken wands that resulted in.
Wait, I read the article. There was some kind of tiny magical creature being released when wands broke, right?
The Quibbler has its faults, but it hits on a fair story now and then. It's not, as many people like to say, all made-up garbage. That's the problem with wizarding society. There's not much choice besides the Daily Prophet. With no offense to the Quibbler's editor, Madam Scamander, with a few more journalists, the Quibbler could, conceivably, be another viable source for news.
Have you talked to Madam Scamander, about this?
We've owled about it before, and she seems to agree with me about the Daily Prophet's news monopoly.
I admit, we pull much of our news from Daily Prophet stories.
And that's the problem right there. We need more independent papers. Look at the last war. The Quibbler was reporting on the Dark Lord's return long before the Prophet, which is ministry-controlled to boot.
Fair point. But we're almost out of time, and I haven't gotten to ask you about your new book, Squib and Muggleborn.
Oh, right. Well, in it, I explore the origins of both Muggle and magic folk, what with the presence of both Muggle-born witches and wizards and squibs. It's entirely possible we're either all Muggle-borns or they're all squibs.
And what do you conclude?
I said I explore. I didn't say I find out.
Looks like that calls for a sequel, then. Well, it was lovely chatting with you, Madam Creed, and thank you so much for talking papers with me. Hope your opinion doesn't extend to radio shows. Don't know if I could handle the competition.
Of course you could, Lee. No worries there.
You make me blush. All right, now we go to Thomas Jones for the week's wickedly accurate weather and traffic report.
Thank you, Lee. Today we can expect clear skies through the evening, but a thunderstorm will be hitting the north tomorrow and work its way south. By the weekend, expect partial clouds with a brief warm period early next week. I also have a special report regarding last week's unexpected rainfall of frogs. Some of you may remember stepping out last Wednesday morning to a downpour of frogs in Chichester. The Department of Magical Weather Abnormalities was on the scene as soon as they could, defrogging the area and performing one of the largest-scale muggle memory wipes in recent years. Turns out this frog infestation was due to weather experiments performed by a group called the Shrieking Warlocks, a group of amateur magi-meteorologists. One representative of the group said they were attempting to make it rain cats and dogs. However, making it rain any kind of animal without a permit is in violation of the International Statute of Secrecy and the Department of Magical Weather Abnormalities regulations. The Shrieking Warlocks were fined 500 galleons, and a representative of the Department of Magical Weather Abnormalities said to remind listeners that only licensed magi-meteorologists should attempt to control the weather. As for traffic, expect high broom traffic while flying over York due to the biannual Witches' Cauldron spectacle this evening. For now, the skies are clear, but watch out for other flyers with invisibility charms. They can be difficult to see. Also, with the storms coming in, you can expect some great clogs. Consider using an alternate grate if you find yourself stuck in the flu network. And that's it for traffic today. Now back to you, Lee.
Thank you, Thomas, and thanks for that special report on the frogs. No wonder so many people in Chichester were hoarse last week. Get it? Frogs? Throats? Ah, never mind. For now, let's listen to one of my favorite songs.
There's a pine down in Hockney, and I think I've got a date. She calls a lot spark, and she says she'll stay up late. We operate because she's just too tricky for the flu. So I play with a crop while she stumbles to the loo. She likes to watch the Quidditch, and she says I should come too. The Santa Claus on my team, but I'm looking like a fool. If I was just to see her, I'd say the needs will think it's cool. I think it's cool.
And welcome back! You're listening to The Lee Jordan Show on the Wizarding Wireless Network, just in time for sports. I could talk your ear off better than any charm about Quidditch all by my lonesome, but that'll have to wait until next time, I'm afraid. I'm just too excited to not introduce my special guest. I'm joined by the one, the only, Ginevra Ginny Potter, captain of the Holyhead Harpies. Welcome to the show, Ginny.
Hello, Lee. Good to see you again.
It is indeed. For those who don't know, Ginny and I were at Hogwarts together for a few years.
Oh, George says you still owe him 5 galleons.
Shush, not on air.
Right.
So, the Holyhead Harpies have won, what, all games this season?
Except for our first two.
Right, but no one really cares to talk about those. You've more than made up for it.
It's only the bitter sting of those losses that lets us win.
So, not your ace players and your draconian training methods? Because if the rumors are to be believed, you train over a herd of Welsh greenbacks.
No comment.
You can tell me and our listeners.
And give all our training secrets away to our rivals? You may be the only one worth listening to on radio, but what's the point of playing without capable opponents?
But not too capable, clearly.
That's right.
So, if you're not going to give us your training secrets...
I'm not.
Could you at least let us know what your plans are for the rest of the season?
To keep on winning.
Well, obviously. Besides that?
We want to keep on playing our best, keep on winning, and we're looking to take home the title. But really, we just want to play our best Quidditch and give all our fans who come to watch a great show.
Ah, yes, I've heard about the legions of Holyhead Harpies fans.
I'm not surprised. They're amazing. The most fabulous fans anyone could want. The Holyhead Harpies have such a rich history. The team has been in existence for over 800 years. And that's built up this amazing sense of loyalty and community. It's one of my favourite things about playing on the Harpies.
And, of course, next year is the biggest event in the world of Quidditch, the Quidditch World Cup. Are you excited?
Absolutely. Whilst the national team hasn't been selected yet, tryouts are coming up soon. And it would be an absolute honour to represent England. There's something so special about the Quidditch World Cup. The crowds are unbelievable and the atmosphere is out of this world. When we hosted the Cup back in 1994, even with the events afterwards which marred the event, the competition was amazing. I remember being right at the top of the stadium and the sense of amazement and awe was incredible. Not something I'm going to be able to forget any time soon. And to be a part of that on the squad would be a dream come true.
Well, I have to wish you all the best at the tryouts, then. And not just because this is on the radio.
You'd be a pretty rubbish friend if you didn't.
I'll have you know I'm an excellent friend.
Sure you are, Jordan, sure.
Yeah. Now, am I going to have to ask you what you think about England's chances next year?
Well, as you and pretty much everyone knows, we haven't had the best run lately. It's hard to say before the team's selected, but I'm pretty optimistic. There's been some changes with coaches recently for the national side, and Hernandez has been brought in as the new goalkeeping coach, which I think is really going to help. Our defensive play has been poor in recent years, and there's been a real shift in focus in the training system to tighten up in that area. I hope all that work will pay off, and at the World Cup you'll see a stronger team as a result.
So, no going out the bottom of the group after letting in over 20 goals?
We'd all like to not repeat that experience from the 2010 Cup in India. We're aiming to get out of the group stages next year.
Well, I hope you do. And I'll root for you individually at the Cup, even if my money will be on Colombia.
Well, Colombia have been in fine form lately. But India are fielding an excellent team at the moment, too. They've really built on the Quidditch legacy from 2010. Not to mention Ireland, Bangladesh and Mexico. It's going to be a tough competition for sure. But we're really going to try our hardest, play our best Quidditch, and get as far as we can.
A very proper answer, Ginevra.
Oi!
So, if I may, while I have you captive, I hear your husband, whom our listeners may have heard of, has an important hearing with the school board of our alma mater, Hogwarts, regarding the installation of the portrait of former headmaster Severus Snape.
That... yes, that's public record.
For those who don't know, Severus Snape, potions master while we were at school, was installed as headmaster of Hogwarts during the year that we'd all like to forget. Harry Potter, who now works as an auror for the Department of Magical Law Enforcement, has been fighting for official recognition of Snape's time as headmaster. Not surprisingly, this has been met with some resistance.
Let's say it's a taboo subject at family reunions.
Touchy subject?
You had friends who were younger students. You remember those days, for all of us, not just those inside Hogwarts.
Snape's involvement is still heavily debated. Was it a double cross? Or perhaps a triple? Or even a quadruple?
I can only say that his actions played a pivotal role in the outcome of the battle against you-know-who.
But what?
And that I fully support Harry, and you should really be asking him these questions.
Can you get me an interview?
I can ask.
That'll do for me. Thank you so much for your time, Ginny. It was great to see you again.
You too. And don't forget...
I'll owl him. Okay, coming up, we have an interview with the actors and a special preview of the new show, The Boy Who Lived, a magical musical.
Oh, now this I have to hear.
Join me, then.
I will, thank you.
Your actress is here. Maybe you can give her a few pointers. And after that, I'll be answering your owls, dear listeners. For now, enjoy a little music.
Witches, wizards, raise your flagons. Join with us and hitch your wagons. Never fear the fiery dragons. Stand up, one and all. Here's a toast to loyal neighbors, fighting fierce with wands or sabers. Men who, resting from their labors, fill their pitchers full. As the moon grows higher, sit down by the fire. Do your worst to quench your thirst, for we will never tire. No foe could leave us drowned or sinking, with quick ones and quicker thinking. Sure, we've earned a night of drinking, Cambria ne'er can yield.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Lee Jordan, and I'm here with my impromptu co-host, Ginny Potter.
Hello!
Now, we're also joined by some members of the cast of The Boy Who Lived, a magical musical. First up is Malcolm Whitford, whose recent portrayal of Gifford Arlington, the famous historical dragon slayer, left tears in my eyes and a stitch in my side, and will be playing Harry Potter's best friend, without whom he would not have succeeded against the Dark Lord. Dean Thomas.
Thank you. You're joking!
No, see, it says right here.
Really? Dean Thomas as Harry's best friend?
Is there a problem?
Well, yes, but... You know what? Never mind. Let's keep going.
Your turn.
Oh, okay. Then we have Begonia Wartspot, best known for her ear-splitting role as the Banshee of the Moor.
A stellar production, with special medical services provided by St. Mungo's.
You're making me blush!
Begonia plays myself in The Boy Who Lived.
And certainly not least, we are joined by Humphrey Gwendolyn. From Merlin to famed magizoologist Newton Scamander, he's played all the greats. And despite some objections people have raised to his age, he adds to his repertoire this autumn with the role of none other than Harry Potter, the boy who lived.
Thank you for that lovely introduction, Lee.
And I guarantee I'm not under the Cruciatus curse.
Of course, if you were, you would say that.
But I'm not, and I'm still saying it.
Which you would say if you were.
But I'm not.
Which again you would say.
But anything I could say would be coerced, so no matter what I say, you would never know.
Except that it's illegal, so of course you wouldn't be.
Any objections to that?
No, my good man. Just that one might argue...
Moving on. So let's start out talking about the show. What's the impetus for doing a musical about Harry Potter?
Well, it's about time, isn't it? I mean, I was just a little girl at the time.
Feeling my age here.
Tell me about it.
It's one of the most vital parts of recent history, right?
And about time it was honoured by the theatre.
But why a musical?
We felt it was best expressed through music.
Song brings people together in a way that no other medium can. By using music, we tie together the pathos of this too true story and the audience's own memories and experiences.
Speaking of pathos, the subject matter is, of course, very heavy, very real, and with long-lasting effects on many of us.
It is a very intense production. Already, rehearsal has seen some quite moving moments for the actors.
But it does have a happy ending, of course.
As a great wizard once said, tragedy comes when our hero falls. Comedy occurs when it ends in a wedding or when your mother-in-law is eaten by a manticore.
But it isn't a comedy, right?
Of course not! Very serious.
But with its light-hearted moments.
And you most certainly know the end, my dear.
What is one of your favourite moments?
For me, I'd have to say the moment when Malcolm, Dean, tells myself, Harry, that he understands the passion between Harry and Ginevra, and he will gladly step aside.
It's terribly romantic, isn't it? Dean can't bear to see the girl he loves be in pain because he loves her.
Okay?
I like that moment, too. A very emotional moment for Dean. You see what kind of man he is, and what kind of friends Dean and Harry are. Platonic soulmates they are. Are you all right?
I'm sorry. I'm fine, really.
So, The Boy Who Lived isn't all character. It uses some pretty fantastic techniques, I hear.
We use the latest in potionology to render the actors youthful, and then gradually age as the show progresses according to specific time cues. All within the brew, no other intervention necessary. Mid-song, on stage even.
I do hate to brag, but I give the finest performance of an infant that has ever graced the stage.
That's amazing! So no stand-in? You play Harry at all ages?
Yes, my good witch, I do indeed.
But that's nothing compared to some of the other effects we use. We shouldn't give everything away, but there's one effect that actually shifts the whole theatre. It's not an illusion.
Some kind of portkey-like method?
Conceptually, yeah.
But actual specifics, it's very different.
Wow, definitely sounds like a must-see. So how about we have a little taste before the show opens? I'm sure our listeners would love that.
Well, if we must. Remember, with the lack of spectacle, you may not fully appreciate the vibrancy the scene has.
But the words and our performances carry themselves.
Yes, very much so.
Of course. I merely mean to say that the greatness of the actual performance is nigh unimaginable, comparatively.
All right, let's hear it.
From the second act, then?
The one with...
Yes, perfect. Harry? Harry, you there?
Keep it down, Dean. Do you want us to get caught?
Bit cold in here, isn't it?
What could you expect? It's the Department of Mysteries. It's supposed to be mysteriously cold.
Ginny, what are you doing here?
I wasn't going to stay behind. Not with you and Harry fighting.
Be quiet. We don't want anyone finding us.
How did we get this far in the first place? Ministry security is the best.
Maybe someone inside is helping us.
Shh! Did you hear that?
No.
There's something creepy.
Crawly.
Dead quiet in the ministry tonight.
Creepy.
Crawly.
Will we escape this place tonight?
Watch out! And see.
Well, this show will certainly draw a crowd, I'm sure, if nothing else.
While the theatre shall never receive the audience that your fair sport draws, we hope, nonetheless, that our efforts shall be rewarded with a nightly full house. Your enthusiasm is appreciated.
Looks like that's all we have time for. Thank you to Begonia, Malcolm, and Humphrey. You can see them perform live in The Boy Who Lived, a Magical Musical, this October, just in time for Halloween. It'll be a show that's hard to forget.
Very hard, I think.
Thank you to Ginny Potter for joining me. A pleasure to have you as always. And now let's have another musical selection. Something a little lighter, and we'll be back with your questions, dear listeners.
Red, red light, climb in my bed. Make me forget all those old better days. Red, red light, can this be true? All rivalries are gone. It's time to tread new.
Welcome back to the show, and now we have some owls loyal listeners have sent in, which we're going to have a look at. This first one is from Joan.
Hi, Lee and team. Love the show. Just wanted to see if you had been to Florian Fortescue's lately. They've brought in a whole bunch of new flavors recently. I tried some of the pumpkin pasty one the other day. Still not sure what I think of it. What about you guys?
Thanks, Joan. This is the perfect time for our regular food correspondent, Isolde Ballard, to join us in the studio. While Isolde normally brings in some delicious homemade goods for us to enjoy, that's not the case this week, is it?
No, not this week. Although next week, you'll be thrilled to hear that I'm going to bring in some of my own special firecracker toffee.
Oh, excellent!
And today, I've brought in some of Florian's ice cream.
Well, I suppose that's a good alternative. I'll let you off the hook just this once.
Thank you, Lee. Very magnanimous of you.
What can I say? It's just the kind of person I am. So, what flavors have you brought in for us to try?
Well, I've got the pumpkin pasty flavor Joan mentioned and a couple of others.
Really? That exists?
Yes, it exists.
Who in the name of Merlin Spotted Pants came up with that?
Well, as you know, since the end of the war, Bertilda Fortescue, Florian Fortescue's niece, took over the running of the ice cream parlor. She did a wonderful job of fixing the damage to the shop and continuing her uncle's tradition. These new flavors, though, have been created by her partner Eloise. I met up with her earlier in the week to have a chat.
Roll clip!
Eloise, it's great to meet you. Can you tell me a bit about why you decided to introduce these new flavors?
Well, I've always loved cooking and combining flavors which you might not initially think would work. And the magical world is so much more open to trying new and different flavors of foods that it seemed the perfect opportunity.
And have they been a success?
Some more than others. The pickle, honey, and sour cream one didn't go down too well. Trust me, it's delicious. I just couldn't convince anyone to give it a try.
Pickle, honey, and sour cream?
Yes, it works really well.
I think I'll take your word for it.
I can't convince you to try some.
Not this early in the morning.
Are you sure?
Sorry.
Oh, it's all right. I'm sure I'll manage to convince someone to give it a go.
Well, I wish you luck with that. Have the other flavors been more successful?
Yes, the chocolate and peanut butter has gone down a storm. It's quite a popular muggle combination, which we felt the wizarding world would enjoy, and it seems to be going well. And the fire whiskey and currants, our twist on the traditional rum and raisin, has also been a big hit.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you very much, Isolde.
Wow, she seemed lovely.
She was, and Eloise kindly provided me with some sample pots, with some excellent chilling charms on, to bring to you today.
Excellent. I'm just going to tuck in, then.
Don't you want to know what flavors they are?
Nah, I'm good. That's delicious.
That would be the pickle, honey, and sour cream.
Really?
Yes, I don't believe it.
You should try some. Although don't have too much. I want to have more.
All right, then.
What else have we got here? Pumpkin pasty, cockroach cluster chip, and red currant jelly. Well, I'm going to try them all. How's the pickle, Isolde?
Better than I expected, actually. Not quite to my taste, but not bad, actually.
Well, I think it's delicious. Now try some of the others.
The cockroach crunch chip works really well. The crunch is excellent, and it works really well in contrast to the creamy smoothness of the ice cream.
Okay, they're all delicious, but I think my favorite's still the pickle.
I think I'd have to go for the pumpkin pasty. For something I tend to associate with a warm food, it works really well as an ice cream.
Delicious, and I'm going to finish off this tub of pickle ice cream whilst you listeners enjoy some music.
Someday it might happen that we need someone to curse. I'm writing up a list, I'm spelling out a list of a bunch of targets that I'll merely say we could do worse. They never would be missed, my wand has never missed. There's the strange pure blood fanatics who write out filthy lies, the Quidditch jocks who can't see anything except their prize, the people who are on the night bus and snore all the way, the people down in Nocturne buy an amulet today, and all those perverts whom with hags are caught up in a tryst. They'll none of them be missed, were they not to exist. So please, my friends, desist. No, really, I insist. They'll none of them be missed. I've got them on the list.
And we're back with more owls to answer. This one is from Graham.
Hi, Lee. Long-time listener. First owl. I had a question regarding my girlfriend. See, she comes from a pureblood family, a wealthy one, and, well, I don't have the galleons to take her out anywhere. I'm muggle-born, and what with the exchange rate of pounds to galleons, which really took a toll on us paying for school, I've been struggling for money, and I can't ask my mom. Any advice?
Well, I may not be Master Mayhold's Levitation, a great show that levitates all of love's problems to the sky, literally. But who says you need money? You hit on something only you can give, Graham. A real muggle experience. She's pure blood. Show her around your childhood world. Real romantic, that. Good luck, Graham. Okay, our next owl comes from Marcus.
Hi, Lee. I'm not sure if you remember, but I sent you an owl a couple of weeks back asking you for some advice on how to cope with the muggle sport of football, which my best friend had invited me to go see a match with him.
Ah, yes, Marcus. I remember you. If I remember correctly, my advice was mainly to yell if the ball went in the net or nearly in the net.
Well, it went really well. I got a bit confused as to which team I was supposed to be cheering for, but my mate was really good about it. And the atmosphere was great. Not a patch on Quidditch, but good fun nonetheless.
Thanks so much for getting back to us about that, Marcus. It's good to know we can make a difference. And we have time for one last owl, this one from Kenji.
Hi, Lee. I'm starting at Hogwarts next year, and I'm really excited.
Hogwarts, what a time you're in for.
I'm the last in my family, and so all my stuff is hand-me-down. But we have to buy a new copy of Hogwarts History. I don't know why. How is it any different than what my sisters and brother used? Why can't I use theirs?
Well, Kenji, you've hit on a question that has long plagued Hogwarts students. It's crazy that Hogwarts History even has a history of its own, and I have to ask our station's own resident book expert, which is to say she reads a lot of books, but also used to work at Flourish and Blotts, to answer this. And here she comes. Frieda Bergstrom, everyone.
I was working the Great Room, you know.
But you're more suited to this. Hogwarts History, new edition. What's so special about it?
Well, originally written by Bathilda Bagshot in the 1940s, and more recently amended by Professor Garius Tomking, it has gone through over 50 editions.
50? Really? How has it gone through so many editions?
Hogwarts itself is a bit of a historical curiosity, a lot of its history obscured by myth and time. New things are discovered every year or so.
I don't remember historians wandering around.
But you wouldn't, see. Mostly during the holidays is when they were.
Okay, but is it really necessary? No one actually reads Hogwarts a History. I didn't even think it was required reading.
Ah, but there's a new history professor at Hogwarts.
No, Binns is gone? He's been there for hundreds of years! I give up. Nothing is the same anymore. What is life? I don't know. I don't care. I quit. I quit everything.
It's just a vacation. He'll be back. He's having long conversations with some of the other ghosts of Hogwarts, learning about them and their lives.
Why? He won't teach any of it. That would be too interesting.
Probably not.
Okay, so is it worth getting the newest edition of Hogwarts A History?
Oh, don't bother. Line 2 on page 893 will be changed or something like that. I should know. That was the kind of thing I had to check for customers.
I am so sorry.
The grades are infinitely more interesting to answer, so I'm good now.
Good to hear. So, Kenji, there's your answer. Don't bother. Really. Save the money. Get yourself a scoop of pickle, honey, and sour cream ice cream instead. It will make you much happier. And sorry to say, dear listeners, that's our show for today. It's a tragedy, I know, but as ever, we have run out of time. Do not fear, though. I will be back to entertain you tomorrow, when we have the world-exclusive first play of Hippogriff's Lament's new single. Yes, apparently they're still together and churning up music. In addition, Beatrix is heading to Northern Wales to bring us the latest on the magically altered ducks which have been causing problems in Anglesey. So you've got that to look forward to. And, of course, more of my charming company. Tune in tomorrow morning from 8. Until then, listeners, goodbye.
You're listening to Lee Jordan on the Wizarding Wireless Network.
Thank you for listening to The Lee Jordan Show. This is a project created for Pod Together 2013. The Lee Jordan Show was written by Croissant Katie and Vasilady and was performed by Calicuria, Silly Cleo, Sylvain, Jelazica Zone, Eos Rose, Croissant Katie, and Vasilady. The show jingle was written and performed by Croissant Katie. The music featured during the show was performed by Laliandra, Sylvain, and Citrus Java with words by Prime Ideal. Downloads of the songs are available on the AO3 page. Sound and cover art were done by Calicuria. If you would like to leave feedback for any of the artists involved with this project, please visit archiveofourown.org/works/899137. A link to this page is available in the metadata of this podfic. Thank you again for listening.